We're gonna get this meeting on the going here. It is now 6:09. We'll take. All right, Finance Committee. I believe we have Lee. We'll give us a little background on what we just.
Darren, summarize what we did.
You're good. They approved the minutes. We are going to budget $1.6 million for regional library basic system support in the 2019 budget rather than the $1.535 that we had put in there. And then there was no action on the fund balance designations proposal. We will be bringing that back for consideration again in July. And the committee wanted to take a longer look at it.
Thanks, Lee.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to ask for a motion.
So moved.
All right. And a second for more discussion.
Second.
All right. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would hope that the other members of the committee would have a chance to look at those desires or those wants for that, those funding. Do they get in their packet?
Yep. Okay. The undesignated fund balance, unassigned fund balance designations proposal was put together after the audit discussion last month. We talked about how we have over 6 months worth of reserves, and the leadership team pulled together projects that we would recommend for consideration.
Just to put this out there, we require our ordinance to carry 3 to 6 months reserves. Right now we have, 6.4 months, so we're over by X amount of dollars. And so that's why we had a discussion on that. So, and that's the reason for a change that we may vote on here if everyone agrees to the 1.6, I think you said, right?
1.6 for regional library basic system.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Question.
Okay.
These are in cost order.
Correct.
I overheard.
Right.
Earlier.
Right.
Is there, or when you come back with this, could you have a priority?
Right.
Yeah, that was
asked. That was asked.
That's good.
That's a
good
great
point.
Question. We asked that question too to put
I
in
heard
priority.
It. Yeah.
Well, she wants it in the minutes.
I do.
Just stickler for detail.
And I think Karen would be open to give her a call, after the meeting throughout the next 30 days, right, Karen? Discuss those.
I would be happy to talk to anyone.
Well,
Chairman,
if we could see that in July, that would be terrific.
Ms. Chairman, my only sensitivity to this, and we do this every year, and I say it every year just for consistency, is a budget, in my opinion, you follow the budget, you start adding things. I know every county I've talked to at some point, some commissioners are more vocal than others about what they pay in, and I see what is potentially going to happen, and that's good. But again, I kind of think if we want it budgeted at the beginning of the year, we should budget it and then stick to the budget. And then I understand the reserves are too high, but then there's maybe something else that we should look at. That's just my more strict view of a budget and my more of a fiduciary concern, I guess, and I've always shared that, and I'll share it again.
And the fiduciary and the finance committee's perspective on this, Ed probably did the best job of explaining this, but a lot of what we do depends on state funding, which fluctuates.
And again, that we don't know until
August.
See, so we have to make a decision before the state tells us how much money we're going to get, so it's kind of a crapshoot. Any other discussion? I have a motion and a second out there.
Aye.
We got an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
I had a motion and a second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Uh-oh. Too much sugar in Jim's coffee today, huh?
The Exchange Board for Central Minnesota.
That's Mary.
I'll do that.
All right.
Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. The We met on June 6th, and we meet here in St. Cloud, and again, this is Great River and East Central, which is, what, four counties? We're six.
Five.
Huh?
They're five or seven. They're one off of us. I don't remember which.
Okay. Anyway. And we amended bylaws, clarified terming on and off and all that sort of thing, because it doesn't exactly meet many of our terms. But we made a change there for clarification. We reviewed a proposed budget. It's not totally been finalized. There were some questions at the meeting about salaries, and so we have reactivated the personnel committee, which had become kind of inactive, I think, and I've been appointed to that to review the salary structure and come back in, let's see, we'll meet again in perhaps in July, if not in August, to make recommendations to the full board. We need a new lease for a facility in 2019 that was briefly discussed. No decisions there. Financial reports were not entirely approved. There were some corrections necessary, and they'll be corrected and approved next at our next meeting. Actually, that, just so you know, the annual budget is just under $200,000, so it's not big, but tax dollars, so that's it.
Yeah.
We have need of one more Great River representative, which I think is on the
we'll
agenda
do that
for tonight.
That's coming up here in just a minute here.
All right.
Jimmy,
you
had a question?
Chair, I do have a question.
Yeah.
First of all, how are you reimbursed for the meetings? And how is this committee financially supported?
Tax dollars supported.
Do they come from Great River, the two
it's libraries? It's a separate state formula for multi-type libraries.
Yeah. And we get a per diem and mileage like we do here.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mary? All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then to move up what Mary just mentioned, that we're going to need another board appointment. Didn't we put Lee on this one?
Not yet, but they do meet in St. Cloud.
Well, you were gone a couple weeks.
What?
This is the one that we put you on, this one.
Oh, that's right. Well, you were gone last time.
You were
time.
Gone.
All right. Well, if it meets in town, it's tough for me to argue my way out of that one. So.
But actually, we're just joshing with you. So would you be interested in that then?
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll move to appoint Lee.
All right. We got a motion.
Second.
Don't all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Lee.
Tough
hard
race.
Fought battle.
Yeah.
Lucky there was no primary.
Library services, technology, grant application, which is on your table in front
on
of you.
Table. So the state just released the grant materials about a week and a half ago. We haven't had time to actually fill them all out yet, but they are due July 13th, which is before the next board meeting. So what I'm looking for is authorization to sign the grant application. On the sheet, it gives you an idea of what we're looking at doing. We've been working with Partner for Student Success, Career Solutions, and Adult Basic Education to figure out what services are being offered and where are the gaps. We think we could fill in the gaps, especially around the Electrolux layoff, and knowing that Somali students are a target group identified by the Partner for Student Success K-8 program. One of the challenges is those students go home to parents who can't read, and so they can't help them with their homework. And then on the Electrolux side of the world, a good chunk of the people working at Electrolux speak Somali, and they need a GED, or they need computer skills, or both, and that is something we can help with. Adult Basic Ed actually offers classes already here in the library, so we could partner off of those classes and offer tech classes here. Our goal would be to hire a Somali cultural navigator to help outreach to the Somali community. We would expand our mobile lab, so we would have two laptop labs, which would allow us to partner with Career Solutions to offer more tech help on site over there. And we would also send our staff to the Minnesota Literacy Council to get trained in offering conversation circles so that we could offer those programs to count toward contact hours for ACP. We would also be able to use those programs in Cold Spring, Long Prairie, and Melrose potentially, because there are other groups that need to practice their English in those communities. So that's a rough idea of kind of what we want the project to be, but we're still working on the details. We'll need to get partnership letters, but if you want more information, let me know.
Chair, is this 100% grant, or is this a matching grant, or what?
100% grant, but they'll ask for what we're cost sharing. So things like already using the existing mobile lab is
or in kind could be
supervising the new Somali person, having them on payroll. There are some things that will be a cost, but and actually writing the grant and doing the cost accounting for the grant is going to be more work than what we've normally done.
Will this be a full-time position?
It would be a full-time grant-funded position, benefit-eligible.
And then that grant is good for how many years?
It's 1 year.
So after 1 year, what happens?
That's the sustainability piece we have to write into the grant application. If it works, I think we would learn whether it would make sense to have someone who's bilingual on staff specifically for that purpose. So we could shift into staffing that area, or we could look at different grants to support something like that.
So if we'd hire this person, that grant runs out. I'm assuming they would know that this is on a yearly basis.
Right.
But if it does run out, you may bring it to the board and say this position is needed, and therefore you'd like to probably hire this person.
Possibly. We don't want to assume that it's going to work.
Mr. Chair, Karen, go ahead.
Could this be done on a contract basis under the terms of the grant, or no?
It could. My experience, talking to Hennepin County about other grants, what they've found is contracted positions don't work as well with projects like this because they aren't as invested in the outcome of the project.
Wayne.
Thank you.
So we're talking primarily the Somali group that's in the St. Cloud area. Have we looked at other areas, you know, Sherburne County, Morrison, on the literacy shortfall there? And is it Somali, or should it be a bilingual or a multilingual person who would maybe be able to speak Hispanic? And
we could look that direction, but it wouldn't meet the needs as strongly with the Electrolux layoff that's coming up. And we kind of looked at that as the impetus for doing a project like this. Conversation circles could actually be led by anyone who can speak English. You don't even have to be bilingual, because conversation circles are so that you can practice your conversational English. So we could, but I don't know that we would be able to write a grant for it quite the same way.
I understand you want to position yourself to get the grant, to have done FEMA grants. You certainly want to position yourself well, but I would offer that if that right person has both language skills, that'd be great.
Mr. Chair, my question is, what level of education are we looking for?
We haven't gone very far down this path, but my thought was we would want to align it with our associate and assistant pay grade, which would be either 2 years formal education or 4 years formal education, and then some customer service experience. But we recognize there's other agencies that may have more experience in this area, so that's something we'll need to flesh out a little more before we finish the grant.
Any more questions?
Can I just make a statement?
Sure, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if we are targeting the Somali population, the one thing that I just want us to keep at the back of our mind is, if we hire a male person, that's going to be a deterrent to the Somali female kids because they don't feel that comfortable with the male. Now, the opposite is not true. So if we hire a female person, males are pretty comfortable with talking to a female. So, you know, there's some cultural issues that we need to think about once we are thinking of doing that so that everybody feels comfortable and we can have that.
Good point.
Any more questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mayor.
How much was the grant again?
We can apply for between $10,000 and $100,000. And when I did some rough cost accounting this morning and yesterday afternoon, just the Somali liaison position is going to run in that $50,000 range with the benefit package. So all of the other pieces get us closer to $80,000. We could tier the grant, too. So we could say that if the mobile laptop lab is not expanded as part of the grant, we aren't going to offer the technology classes. So we could set it up so that it's not an all or nothing proposition. The state could choose to partially fund the grant or partially fund pieces of the application.
And our partners would be, or potentially.
Right. A verbal interest from Adult Basic Education, partner from student for Student Success and Career Solutions.
And who are they?
Career Solutions used to be the Stearns Benton Employment Training Council. They are the agency selected for the dislocated worker program for the Electrolux layoff. Partner for Student Success is a partnership between Sartell St. Stephen's St. Cloud School District and Sauk Rapids Rice School District in raising student achievement. And then Adult Basic Education is the 742 program is based out of here, but Central Minnesota ABE actually is a much bigger agency that reaches all the way out to Long Prairie and some
who's
areas.
That? ABE?
ABE, Adult Basic Education. They're the agency you go to if you need to get a diploma and you don't have one.
Is that the same as?
GDE.
Get your GED.
Mm-hmm. And is anyone community ed or anything like that involved, or are they?
Community ed's a separate.
Have they changed their name?
That's a totally separate thing. I think ABE offers their programs through the community ed sign up, but ABE is the agency that actually offers the classes to get your diploma.
Sure. One question. What do you know about Electrolux and their efforts to place the layoff people and help them along their way of education if need be?
They have set their closure for end of 2019,
okay.
Which is good because we have lead time.
Way out, yep.
But it's also bad because the way the dislocated worker program is set up, the agency Career Solutions can't actually offer benefits until 6 months prior to the closure. So we know 1,800 people are going to get laid off. 900 people are going to get laid off. The impact's predicted to be closer to 1,800 because of the supply chain in the area. But they can't offer benefits yet because they're not part of the federal program. So we'd actually be getting ahead. The Electrolux company has actually offered to do classes on site in between shifts. So we've talked with Career Solutions about bringing the mobile lab over there already, in addition to their mobile lab to help start programs already. Just knowing that the layoff is going to impact those people and they don't have the skills they need to get a new job.
And I know it's important for us to be ahead of the game on that, but I want to make sure that, you know, we're not doubling up on what's going to be done by Electrolux already if they're going to have that kind of an option to even relocate them.
They can relocate, but their plant's in South Carolina. So, like, I knew a guy whose son is in my scout troop. He's a little older than me. He's worked there almost 30 years, and he won't have a pension when he gets laid off. That's the kind of stories coming out of the plant. The majority of the second shift, English is their second language. We were told a lot of the workers are students, but that means that there are students trying to get their GED. They did a snapshot survey of the plant, and they're not just St. Cloud people. Like, we've got people out in Little Falls, we've got people out in Albany and Avon, we've got people out in Foley. And this is going to be the size and scope of Finger Hut, maybe bigger in this area. And the majority of the people working there who need additional job training don't have basic technology skills. Like, some of them couldn't even fill out the application and survey materials on their own. So we know that the need is going to be great. And having worked the front desk when Finger Hut laid off, if we're not positioned as a library to help those people when they walk through the door, we're going to be in a world of hurt. Because you have people walking in the door who don't know how to use a computer, who want to apply for unemployment, which is only online, who want to apply for jobs and have never used a computer. And so for us to actually build some capacity so that we can meet that need is really important. And it looks like, to me, this grant is a good opportunity to get there. I've got some stats with me on the Electrolux layoff. I just have to dig them out.
And Mr. Chairman, while Karen's doing that, I think the gist of what I'm hearing is that everybody's saying, well, let's make sure we're working together with all the partners. I know that the state got some dislocated worker program. The granite company went through some layoffs when I was there, and we secured state job training monies, and I know they did that as well. So my sense is, what I'm hearing is, and that's what I would say, is make sure we work together in a collaborative way to maximize everybody's, because they're all public funds. The state, this, everything that everybody is doing
right.
are going to be public funds. So let's maximize it for the benefit, the greatest benefit.
Right. We don't want to duplicate services. What we do know is the Workforce Center actually reduced the number of stations that they have in their building. So they have fewer computer stations there. We have computer stations. They're only open 8 to 5. We're open till 9 o'clock. So if we have someone on staff who can help them practice the skills that they're developing in those classes, you can assume if they don't have technology skills, they don't have a computer at home either. They can come here and use the computer for free. So that's where this is more of a capacity building grant. It fits us nicely with where some of the gaps are. Like ABE, they struggle with offering technology classes to their ABE students. They struggle with having a way to support conversation circles. That's something we could do. It's not duplicating, it's expanding in an area where another agency hasn't.
You don't care, are they gonna look at other companies? There's the company over in Sauk Rapids that is employing some of that, you know, that population. And they would take 30 workers right now if they could get them. Are they going to be working with companies like that that want to add another shift and they want to?
Yes, they're already trying to place them.
Stearns Manufacturing.
So just some stats of the workers that were surveyed: 128 have not completed high school.
1
At all.
Ever.
Out of the 900 workers there, 106 are looking to improve their reading, writing, or math skills. 75 speak English as a second language. 73 are looking to obtain a GED. 233 are looking for basic computer skills training. And 223 are looking for advanced computer skills training. And I would say advanced computer skills, from what I've studied, means things like being able to take your email and put something on your calendar. Like, that in a lot of people's books is advanced. Basic is, I know how to use a mouse and I can check my email. So the gap's pretty big. And this is just the Electrolux workers. What they've talked about in some of the community meetings is, like, Black Hawk Industrial is a major supplier of Electrolux. It's likely that their workforce is going to be directly impacted by this as well once the closure actually takes place. And that's not talking about the student achievement piece. I mean, we know that the Somali American group here in St. Cloud is one that is really struggling. And so if we can set their families up to be a place where people can read and use the computer, then the students will do better as well.
Any more discussion, Mary?
One last question, and I'll shut up. Are these other partners also eligible to apply for the grant?
No. Library Services and Technology Act is only for public libraries and school libraries. We are talking with the school about whether they could also submit an application so that they could expand their collection and resources for family literacy, because that's something that there isn't a good funding stream for. Once kids hit that 16, 17, 18-year-old range, they're coming in and they can't read. They don't fit in a box nicely in the education world. That's what we're finding out.
Or nowhere.
Right.
They don't fit anywhere.
So talking about the literacy piece is really good. I think the library can be a good resource. But the stats from the paper mill showed us that 7 people committed suicide when that closed because they just could not consider their life without the paper mill. So could we use some kind of options where we could provide them with information in a different language, in Somali language, about food shelves, about mental health, about, you know, the basic needs that they need to, so that they could get that while they are at the library? A lot of these people are very ashamed to ask for these things. So I don't want to ask my friend because my friend is then going to say that I went to the food shelf to get food for my kids or clothes or anything else. So if we can add that piece to it, where we can get, just have that information available just somewhere, where if they wanted to pick a flyer that lists the food shelves and the information about mental health care and medical care if they need it or stuff like that.
We can look at it. We wouldn't want to replicate anything that United Way is already doing or Career Solutions might be offering in their dislocated worker packets. So we could look at what's already being offered to see if there's a gap there.
Any more discussion? We're going to leave.
Also, the nature of the wind down at Electrolux offers some unique challenges. Yes, on one hand, they're going to, we've got this 2-year time frame to consider, but at the same time, they're winding down on one hand. They have to maintain a certain level of production in the meantime. So at the same time, they're hiring new people. Okay. So it's kind of an adventure. It's a unique situation we find ourselves in. But if this was easy, ordinary people would be doing it.
And I have a question. If this grant goes through and we apply for $2,500 and we need 70 or 60, is it possible that they'd only give us a grant for $25,000, or they would give us the amount that we applied?
They could give us less, but we would also have the right to say, and then we will only do this much of the project.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how competitive is this?
It's all libraries in the state of Minnesota, so it depends on how many apply. Because we haven't applied for an LSTA grant for quite a while, we actually get 10 priority points in this pool. So it really depends on the other applications. We do have a staff who has served as a grant reviewer for this grant the last 3 rounds, so we have someone with some expertise on what works, too. And again, this is something we've never done, or we haven't done, and we haven't done anything on this scale. We could choose not to play ball here. But I personally feel like we have an obligation to bring something to the table, knowing what's coming to from this layoff in particular.
And as I get more experience at this stuff, I do see panels and bodies have an almost automatic reaction to the word grant. The reality is that sometimes the grant competition is so great that really what happens is the applicants are being used, because it's used as a information collection device by the people that are handing out the grant. So that's why I'm asking about the competition. If indeed we are an applicant and not a tool, I'm for it.
Where does the money come from?
State Library Services, Minnesota Department of Education. It actually is federal funds coming through the Department of Ed. So if you hear Institute of Museum and Library Services or Library Services and Technology Act, it's all the same funding stream. It goes to the state and they distribute
it. From the feds, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any more discussion? I'm going to be looking for a motion on this one. So I'll ask for a motion for the grant application for Library Services and Technology.
Mr. Chair, I so move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second from Mary. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for the great discussion there. Great GRL job classification proposal.
One of the recommendations that we received from the compensation consultant that we've been working with is to establish, add job classifications to our current pay structure and then use this to comply with the pay equity report. We, to date, have not received consideration of that report. So at this point, we aren't in compliance or not in compliance. But just sort of anticipating what we've talked about before, job classifications is something that's used by most jurisdictions. So it isn't anything new. And what we're proposing is, and it's basically like positions or similar positions with their qualifications are put into a classification. And when I report, then I'm using the classification as opposed to having so many separate jobs, and that assists with that compliance issue. So I have broken down the different classes that we would like to propose and then the positions that would fit into those classes.
Mr. Chairman, we talked about having you resubmit.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
If it's approved, then I will call and see if they will do a, they can do a, test it for me to see. As far as I can tell, it would meet the requirements, but they'll do sort of a preliminary test for me, and then I would be able to resubmit.
And then, Ms. Chairman, remind me the details that we had as far as what we talked about at length, moving things around. This reflects that?
Yeah.
The titles and the positions and...
Right, it really isn't changing anything in terms of individual job descriptions or titles. So there's really no impact to our pay structure. It's really going to be used for pay equity reporting.
And Mr. Chair, what it really does is puts all of one class into one class, like aides are all in one class then. And
right.
And what, did the consultant help with these classifications? I thought he would when he, okay.
He did, yeah.
He said it would qualify, it should qualify, right?
Yep, when I try it on using the pay equity software, it does look like we would be in compliance by using the classifications. Of course, they make the final determination, but looking at the numbers, it looks like that would meet that requirement.
And Mr. Chair, us being proactive versus reactive, we're probably going to be looked upon
more favorably
is correct.
And again, it is a common way of reporting, so it isn't something new for them.
So, Mr. Chair, is this something we are going to keep doing moving forward then?
As far as
once we're adopted,
classification wise, that this is how we're going to.
Well, this is a different law that was changed here not too long ago, or we just didn't know about it, is that right?
We didn't have it in our existing pay structure.
There we go.
We report to pay equity every 3 years, so we won't be reporting again until 2021.
Mr. Chair, so back to your question, Mr. Chair, about is this new or how come it hasn't come up before?
The pay structure was changed in 2014, so there was a comp and class done at that time. It was submitted to pay equity and met compliance, and then it was reported in 2015 and it complied. But the way it's set up, because we had some positions where, so we have very few male positions, and by doing it by job, then that we had some people in the male classes retire. We filled them with females, so then we have more female classes.
Gender biased.
Well, it just put us out of compliance.
The way we were reporting, it was putting us out of compliance.
This is general
It generalizes, doesn't have gender.
Right, because, so yeah, if somebody leaves one of these classifications, it shouldn't affect, you know, we have had so many jobs that just have one person in them. So it was really impacted with changes in staffing. So by keeping these classifications, that it should work well into the future.
So did they change the rules after 2015, or?
No.
It's just that things changed here.
We reported by job. Mm-hmm. We could have reported by class, but we didn't have them. Because we reported by jobs.
And qualified in 2015.
Right. It qualified, but then we had turnover in the jobs. And so now we don't meet.
Like Julie mentioned, that we're really not out of compliance until we tell them we're out of compliance. That's where I'm getting it.
Well, until they tell me we're out of compliance. Right, okay.
You know, so we're going to tell them we're out of compliance.
Yeah, so at this point, you know, I couldn't really just change everything from the last report. I would have to, but I'm able to do that because I can state that we had a compensation consultant work with us. We've looked at he looked at the titles and he looked at the classifications and he looked at the points, and so we're making this change at this time.
And Mr. Chair, I just want to say this is the correct way to do it. When you had the report, we knew we were going to be out of compliance because of that report. So being proactive and taking care of this is the correct way, because I don't want them to come down on me saying, you submitted this, you knew you're out of compliance, what have you done about it? I'd rather just be proactive and get this thing done. Like you say, and if we get there and we're in compliance, then we've got 3 years before we got to deal with this again.
Any more discussion? I'm going to ask for a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion. I'll need a second for the job classification proposal. Last time, any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, should this have gone to the Personnel Committee first?
It did.
Mm-hmm. It did.
We did talk about this.
No, it was last month.
We talked about the concept, but we didn't see this document.
This was a few months ago
when
we talked about this.
We are unable to bring it to the Personnel Committee in a timely manner. And that's why it came to the full board as a special session. It was what the board asked us to do last month.
Any more discussion? I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Again, thanks for the discussion. How about if we take 5 minutes to go into the closed session? Okay, we're going to have a closed meeting. For employee performance preview, statute
13D.05.
Labor negotiations. Okay. Closed meeting for labor negotiations, statute 13D.03. Closed meeting for employee performance review. Okay. There, I got to get down to motion. Yeah. All right. Now I'll ask for a motion and a second to close the meeting.
Don't move.
Second.
All right, and the time is 6:49. And I'll need got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The open meeting will be at 7:24.
What time was that, Mr. Chair?
You want me to give you the military time? Yeah, I can do that too. Okay. So going back to our agenda, looks like we took care of that. Next meeting is going to be July 17th at 6 p.m. And we can go on if any public comment. Does anybody have anything? I'll start.
No comments.
Fran? No comments. Lee? Dan? Mike?
We broke around a new justice center in Ray County. Spending Jim's money.
It's
all about, and his too.
But Eddie? Not mine. Not mine.
Eddie, you have anything?
No.
Dave.
Happy 4th of July.
I have a comment, actually. I get this thing periodical in the mail called The Land. It comes out of Mankato. And do you get that too?
I do.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
A little library thing. I'll just leave it here and you can look at it. I thought it was kind of interesting. It's a volunteer, it's started with the free box, and but I think they've worked cooperatively with other libraries. I don't know that regional system.
Is that Eden Valley?
Southern Minnesota, Southwest.
Good.
But if that would work in some of our smaller communities, we could recruit some volunteer help. And
yeah, Vesta. So it's north of Worthington, the way it looks.
Way southwest.
And it looks like it's very similar to the Maple Lake Library.
It's about that big.
Wayne, do you have anything to say?
No.
Jane?
Nope.
Zyra?
We have an exhibit coming up that's in 6 places in the area. It's called When Home Won't Let You Stay. It's about immigrant families. It's for the World Refugee Day coming up tomorrow. So if any of you would like to visit those, please get the information from Karen.
All right. And myself, to piggyback, I think Outing has the same thing. And they have a full volunteer library up there. So it's just something that they brought together.
Is in a cafe.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I know it's all volunteer. Yeah. All right, that being said, motion to adjourn.
So moved. Mr. Chair.
Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. 7:27.